You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was first recorded on October 19, 2022, and is titled Little by Little. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Hey, it's good to have everybody tonight. We got a pretty good little pile in here. Thanks to Curtis filling in last week around here. He always does a good job. Y'all give a little praise offering for him. Want to thank everybody for all your prayers and your condolences and all the stuff in the passing of Robin's dad. That all went real good, and she would be with us tonight. Somehow she got some kind of little stomach bug or ate the wrong thing or something, and me being her doctor, I think she's just pooped. I think she just needs to sleep for a day or two. It would be real good. So anyhow, couple little things. I just wanted to share something about my dad-in-law that some of you saw the service was on the YouTube thing, but just one or two little old things that I wanted to bring up because it was a pretty unique deal. There was another pastor there that gave a lot of testimony as to the things my father-in-law had done. Well, a lot of you have met my father-in-law, Gerald. He's a coyote hunter. So his Sunday morning worship was in front of a dog box. And he was an ornery old booger. Now, he could get pretty darn ornery from time to time. And you would have a hard time looking at him and thinking that he had spent very much time at the altar and different things. And I had told him when we were up there one day, I told him that he'd called me in the room there, and he was in the hospital just recently and made Robin get out of the room. And he said, hey, he's telling all this stuff. And I said, hey, you think you're dying? He said, yep. I said, how long you think you got? He said, 2 or 3 weeks. That's 3 weeks before his funeral. And I said, well, you do know you don't get to pick. He kind of fussed around there with me a minute. Me and him had a pretty neat little relationship. You'd think we hated each other's guts, and for the last 15 years, we never parted without telling each other we loved each other. But I could walk in Imus there, the little Quick Trip where they all drank coffee, and he'd say, whoop, here comes the dumbest guy south of Amarillo, you know. And so we had a pretty good time. And I'll make this real quick because I want to make a point out of it. There's a lot of things you don't figure out until you really dive in and you're seeking the Lord. I don't know that I ever sought the Lord about my father-in-law. I prayed for him under my own assessment, what I thought he needed, how I thought he needed to be. And then now you're tasked with doing his service, and you have to, if you're going to do somebody's service, you have to go seek the Lord. You have to hear from God. And the people that don't are very easy to recognize because God knows everybody better than you do, and he's the best guy to talk to about doing somebody's service. So anyhow, my father-in-law, Gerald, we were sitting there in that hospital room, and I said, all right, I got to ask you. I said, you know, me and you've been over this about 20 years now. What about you and Jesus? You dying? You and Jesus? You good? How you doing? You need me to preach to you, pray to you? What do you need here? I'm good. You good? Yep. I'm good. I'm ready to go. I said, well, now I'm a horse sale auctioneer, so I've been fibbed to a little. I said, forgive me if I ask you again. I said, I'm going to ask you again. Are you born again and you good with Jesus? And he said, absolutely. I'm fine. I said, good. Perfect. I said, do you still want me to do your service? He said, yeah, I want you know Daryl to do my service. Daryl's a guy, pastors a church up there. Good dude. And and I said, well, then here, if you've only got 3 weeks, I said, you need to hurry up and do something good because I got a blank page over here, and I need to tell him something. So he had a big time. But real quick, Daryl got up there, and he told that my father-in-law, this will be hard to tell, that my father-in-law was one of the most spiritual men he knew. Now, Daryl Wynn pastors Harvest Church in Derisette. He might be one of the most spiritual men I know. I mean, he's a God-loving Holy Ghost son of a gun. And he said that my father-in-law, unbeknownst to most of the public, would have visitation from God. He went to Daryl's house one day and said, God came and told me that you have a bad heart and you need to go to the doctor. Daryl did it. And sure enough, he was in bad shape. And they got him patched up. And they told stories of my father-in-law, how he would hear God, be visited by God, and then do what he said. And so, 2 weeks, right there about a week, 10 days before he passed, he was in a room with my, with Robin and her two brothers. And he's laying on the, in the chair there, and he's kind of, you know, he's kind of in and out and doing. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just come upon him, and he raised up in that chair. And he prophesied about the kingdom of God and the kingship of Jesus. And he prophesied over his sons and his daughter about their kingship, their place in the earth. And he talked about the people of God who had influenced his life and the ones that he'd had a part of. He prayed for them in the name of Jesus. He repented of the things that he had done and the things that he had not done for almost 2 hours. When he got done, he laid back down. Me and Daryl, we sat around crying together for about 2 days telling these stories. I said, Daryl, I want to ask you something. You've been preaching since Moby Dick was a minute. I said, how many people you got sitting on your chairs that you know get visited by God, hear God, and then get up and go do what God said? He started laughing. He said, probably none. Dusty called me that week, and he was studying on Noah. And the Lord spoke to him audibly. He said, just wanted you to know, Noah wasn't in church. Let that sit for a second. My father-in-law denied himself the opportunity because church left a bad taste in his mouth. He left one day because he was a man's man and he had an IQ over 2 and he couldn't stand it. So he walked off and he didn't do it anymore. His spirit was good. His soul was good. But he never took the opportunity to renew his mind. So he didn't know God's plan for being a dad or a husband. He didn't know how to say all the right things and do all the right things, and especially do all the things that modern-day Christians expect Christians to do. It's an unattainable process. But that coyote-hunting son of a buck would be laying in bed, and God would visit him. And he'd just get up and go do what God said to do. And forgive a guy like me for the 400 million times that I judged him for not knowing what I know. And the whole time, he knew who I knew. So, there'll be more to this message tonight because we got a lot to talk about. And if we don't get over ourselves here pretty quick, we're going to screw the whole deal up. Pretty quick. We got a lot of opinions while we're sitting in a building and calling it church. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't hear God and you won't obey God and you won't do what God says. How do you even know you are the church? Great question. Let's pray, and I'm going to get the Mercantiles up here singing. Did y'all bring music? Okay, good. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you tonight for the opportunity to do what we're going to do, Lord. It's going to be real, it's going to be raw, and it's going to be you. Lord, we got some stuff to talk about that the whole world needs to hear tonight. Lord, I pray that you open up good, healthy discussion, for iron sharpens iron. I pray tonight, Lord, that you will give us ears to hear so that we can think, we can ponder, we can reason together, and we can find a pathway of hope. Not a hope of heaven, but a hope for this nation we live in, and the freedom we enjoy, for the generations to come as we occupy till your return, Jesus. Let us occupy with a strategy of hope. Bring this country back to who she is and do it all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The Mouth of Babes. Pretty awesome stuff, isn't it? Hey, I forgot to announce. I bet Janice was getting nervous over here because I forgot to announce. They're going to have a Thanksgiving dinner today. The Senior Center, Thursday, November the 10th at 11:45 to 2 p.m., $12 a head. I'll put this on the back deal back there. So if you want a good Thanksgiving dinner and you're in Mule Shoe, you can go down to the Senior Center and get you some good lunch. That'll be good. Okay. Hey, I'm going to sit down a minute because tonight's going to be, the elephant in the room tonight. We're just going to address that tonight. So a lot of you know that we've been really busy, and there's a lot going on politically in our land right now. Until you come up to November the 8th, we've got a lot going on. I empty a lot of seats because there's people who carry Bibles that don't believe we're supposed to be involved. Then there's people who carry Bibles that believe God's going to do it for us. Neither one's true. I had a lady tell me today, she said, one thing about you, she said, you have a passion for God, so you're always going to end up doing what he wants you to do. I said, well, don't leave out that I have a passion for my country. I don't take lightly what those have gone before me have done for me. And in order to honor that, I have to continue to do for those who come next. For the Beam Me Up Scotty Brigade, just for the record, you're still here. Okay? Not trying to pick a fight. In fact, you'll find out tonight that the bully days are over. There's a playbook that God has written that most of us don't ever get it fully figured out. But in the big scheme of things, there's a lot of, like me, just using me for example, there's still a lot of me in the mix. And to die to that, and to move forward, and to be useful, and to be effective, God has to change me. When I got back from North Dakota, I was sitting right there in my den there at the dining table, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, do you want to reveal my glory in the city square? I said, well, I thought I'd been trying, but do you really want to do that? Raise the dead, heal the lame, make the mute talk, deaf to hear, cast out demons, reveal the glory of God. I said, well, I think so. I've been with God long enough now to know if he's asking you a question, he's fixing to trick you. You're going to end up doing something you really didn't want to do. I said, well, yeah, I think so. Now, God and I converse like this, and I don't expect everybody to. But I'm going to tell you the other thing. If you think you hear God, don't stand around guessing at it. And if you're guessing at it, go ahead and keep your mouth shut. Okay? Either know what's going on or don't know. But right now, we've played the game long enough. And he said, that's what you want. I said, what I got to do? He said, be holy as I'm holy. Just got through singing that song. Well, I got aggravated at him. I said, great. What the crap does that mean? I've been trying the church version of that, and it's unattainable. You're going to have to explain it to me. Because I'm in 27 years of this, and I'm tired. He said, just do what I did. I only went where the Father said to go and only said what the Father said to say. Simple as that. And then I got the opportunity to see my father-in-law from God's perspective. If the coyote hunters that showed up that still had dogs in their truck, they had hunted all the way to the funeral in honor of Gerald. True story. We heard it, didn't we, Curtis? And I don't know how many more heard it, but I said something about when you get to, usually you get to a funeral and you talk about the angels rejoicing, and I said, but today the coyotes are rejoicing. My father-in-law killed 500 coyotes last year. He was 85 years old. I'm telling you, them boogers was having a party. He was arch enemy number one. And when I said that, I paused for just a second, and one lone coyote right back to the left of me, back in the back, just made just one or two little yelps. And I heard it, but you could barely hear it. And I didn't say nothing about it. I didn't want people thinking I was crazy. And me and Curtis was talking. Him and Carrie came up there, and he said, "You hear that coyote?" I said, "I sure did. I sure did. I just didn't say nothing about it." But to get on with it, just say what I said to say and go where I said to go. Do what I said to do. And so my life has been a shambles for about a month because I had to fix a lot of me. And because of the love of my country, I investigate a lot of stuff. I lay in bed and weep over this great United States of America. I weep over your kids, their futures. We listen to all the jargon, all the gibberish about who's doing what and where, and we all know how bad it is, and we're pretty good stone throwers from our own glass houses. And then you get a guy like me who preaches his way through the Obama years, where we begin the severe case of polarization again. We began to segregate. We began to choose up sides. We move from intelligence to emotion. And the church comes together every Sunday and sings Kumbaya while we wish our way out of here. Then we get our guy. Over 168 policies in 4 years that fit our narrative. His policies may be the best in the history of this United States of America. His playbook stinks to high heaven. It's the playbook of man. You see, politics is a game of men. And the religious crowd's going to have to figure this out. That's why I want to talk about this tonight, because everybody here will agree it is hard to do right by your God and do right by your country at the same time. The choices are hard. The candidates are hard to sort through. The narrative, the background noise makes it extremely difficult. It's easy to choose for whatever you believe is right. But at the same time, how hard is it to choose for victory? How do you navigate through the weave and win at the end of the day? Or do we take this righteous position and get over here and do what we believe is right by us, but it never infiltrates the other group, and we move farther to the left, farther to the right. Nobody moves the needle. Nobody can have a conversation anymore. And here we are, a house that's absolutely divided, a nation that was a Christian nation, where in 1990, over 86% of Americans claimed to be of the Christian faith, and today less than 50%. How do we do all that? And so, in the midst of all this, I find God giving me an internal overhaul. Because the bully tactics are of man's playbook. I want you to hear that. And I've been one. And I apologize for it. I ask to be forgiven for it. It's more fun if you're a bunch of cowboys going to church and the preacher wants to fist fight. That fits everybody's internal thingamajig. Yeah, let's just go beat the crap out of somebody in the name of Jesus. They don't think like us. They don't believe like us. Let's just go beat the snot out of them. If we can't preach heaven into them, we'll just beat hell out of them. Let's go do it. Been my story for a long time. And God's been showing me. If you're going to win this war, you got to use my weapons. There's two ways to survive what we have going on right now. Two ways, two pathways. You can either use the playbook of God and the weapons of God, or you use the playbook of man and the weapons of man. Now, I've been studying a little bit on Abraham Lincoln and 4 years of Civil War. I've had some lively discussions this week with some people I care about a lot. I think they care about me. I don't have one of them I want to shoot. But in 1865, I believe it was, cousins shot cousins, brothers shot at brothers, nation absolutely divided, brought back together by a president who told the South that he would not dabble in slavery. Abraham Lincoln couldn't get elected dog catcher before he came president of the United States of America. He tried everything around. Oh, I don't want to call old Honest Abe a liar, but he told the South, I'm not going to monkey in slavery. Which president freed the slaves? 16th president of the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln. His second inaugural address was pretty cool because one part of it I'll never forget. Well, they pray the same God and read the same Bible, they seek a different result, different outcome. But this nation was able to hold it back together. Perfect union. Nation under God. One nation. Here we are again. Here we are as Christians. And every day we have the conversation with somebody. Every day we deal with our own feelings. Every day we deal with our own issues. But on our side of the fence, we're the house that's most divided. We won't even reach across the denominational sidewalk. That's why we're divided. We won't stop and have the conversation as to why we believe what we believe, why we think, what do we do. We won't show up at the other guy's house with our hat in our hand. And something happened to me in the last month. I had me about 42 slices of humble pie here lately. Had so much in one day that I just wanted to puke. Somebody's got to put their hat in their hand. If the moral plumb line of this nation belonged to the people of God, then this is our fault. We don't own anything anymore. We gave it all away. I want to talk to you just a minute here tonight about little by little. When I talked to David Barton about some things that are going on the other day, he said, let me give you the scriptural reference, Deuteronomy 7 and Exodus 23. We'll be in Deuteronomy 7 tonight. Exodus 23 says pretty much the same thing. But the gist of it is that God promised Israel the land of Canaan. When they got there, they acquired it little by little.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as the Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.